Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Joel Malkin for WJNO.com. What do you say we talk some movies? It's been a couple of weeks. Hap's been too busy for us. I'm just kidding. Anyway, Hap, it's good to talk to you. Hap Erstein from PalmBeachArtsPaper.com, and we'll have to catch up on some of these movies. There've been a few out. I know you're gonna talk about some, and then we'll give some honorable mentions, and even a couple that I saw. I'll share my thoughts on if you don't mind.
Excellent. Not in the least. Now, if ever there were a movie that was critic-proof, it would be No Time to Die, the 25th in the James Bond franchise, and the 6th featuring Daniel Craig as 007. Not that critics and moviegoers will probably be negative about this episode. It's Craig's last, and it's on par with his Casino Royale and his Skyfall, which is saying a lot. Now, at 163 minutes, nearly 3 hours, No Time to Die is the longest Bond movie yet, but it doesn't feel like it. Of course, it's been a long wait for the movie, originally scheduled to release in April 2020, derailed, by the pandemic. It opens with an elegiac goodbye from James to the love of his life, Vesper Lynd, that's Eva Green, who drowned in Venice in Casino Royale. Remember that? Now, no matter...
I was going to say no. I forget that movie.
Okay.
I saw that one. I don't see a lot of the James Bond movies. It's not my genre, but...
I watched single one.
I've seen several. I just... Anyway, go ahead. I don't remember it that well.
Got it. So no wonder he's lost his passion for his license to kill and retires to the Caribbean as the movie starts. But no one will be surprised when CIA agent Felix Leiter, that's Jeffrey Wright, reels him back in to do battle with the newest of Don's psychopathic adversaries, Lucifer Savin, played by Oscar winner Rami Malek. And naturally, there are a few new female bombshells, a new 007 named Nomi, played by Lashana Lynd, an agent named Paloma, Anna de Armas, and the return of Madeline Swan, that's Lea Seydoux, to name just a few. Only Cary Fukunaga seems an odd choice to direct based on his resume, but he proves adept at action sequences and moves the whole movie along quite capably, almost 3 hours. Whew. As a whole, No Time to Die plays like the best of recent Bond flicks and a tough act for the next Bond to follow, that's for sure. It's available only in theaters. And the guessing is it will drive moviegoers back inside.
Third attempt, right? Third time's a charm to get this movie out. I think it was three. Maybe it was two or three. This was the, if I remember correctly, this was the first big movie, like big name movie it that was put off back in March. I want to say it was March of 2020.
Well, I think it was early April, but
something
still.
Like that. Yeah, so that was like the first big one, and they said, we're going to close theaters.
And then the fall, I think.
When the theaters back opened again around October for 2 weeks or whatever it was, and then they shut down again. This was 2020, and then they held it back. I heard somebody say something about they might have done some reshoots, and I said, why would they do reshoots? The movie's been done, so I don't know. Had you heard anything about that?
No, absolutely not. It would surprise me as well.
I think it just sat there on the shelf waiting.
The only thing that I could think is as a re-edit. You know, they might have decided maybe it was a little too long.
It
doesn't really feel like
60-something minutes, so it's how much longer could it have been? But I want to just pull, because I'm not a huge fan of the 007. I'll see some of them, but I didn't realize.
Doesn't grab you?
Were you hinting that this particular 007 isn't critics' favorite?
No. I think almost all critics say it's either this or Sean Connery, of course.
Okay. But, I took you a little bit differently. I thought.
But, Daniel Craig and the writers really rebooted the series quite well, which had been foundering. And
So folks like you, your critics are probably not happy that he's stepping down, and we don't know who's coming next, do we? Have they said?
We do not. We still don't know. Maybe he could be talked back into staying. I don't know, but he said no for sure, and there are lots of people waiting in the wings.
I can't believe 6 movies. He's done 6 of these. I guess I remember Casino Royale. That wasn't the last one, was it?
That was the first one.
That was the first one, right? Right. I think that might have been the last one.
And there was
one I
Quantum
saw.
Of Solace. There
yeah, I didn't
was.
See it. I don't. I think that was the last one I saw was Casino Royale.
Hmm. Okay.
So
it didn't do anything for you.
It was okay. It's these movies. I don't know. It just they all feel the same to me. I remember being a child.
Well, there's something to that.
I remember being a child and seeing. It was probably on cable at the point because I'm sure I didn't go to the movies to see it. Roger Moore starring as 007 in The Man with the Golden Gun, and Hervé Villechaize, or however you say his Hervé, however his name
right.
is, said the
no, you're, no,
the
you're
little
not far
guy.
Off.
The little person yeah. from Deep Plane, Fantasy, the original
Fantasy Island
TV show. And he was in this, and there was I remember liking the scene because I was a kid. And I was like, oh, cool, it's like a carnival. And it was like a fun house, like a house of mirrors, and they're walking through, there's a scene and all. That's what I always think of with 007. I don't know.
Wow.
I think it was The Man with the Golden Gun.
You may be the only one. Okay.
Yeah. And then there was a character named Jaws who ended up in
Well, that's Goldfinger.
Is that Goldfinger? Okay, he was in Happy Gilmore, that actor, and I forget his name. But
Keel. Something Keel.
Yeah, that's right. Very, very big man.
Uh-huh.
All right, interesting.
Big
okay.
teeth.
So No Time to Die, that's the biggie this weekend.
Oh, my God, it's going to be gigantic.
I know you've got other movies to talk about.
All right, well, it's going to be hard to miss one of the many biographies coming out now about Princess Diana. There's a CNN miniseries. There's a new movie called Spencer with Kristen Stewart in the title role. And she's also prominent in the current season of the Crown. But the kitschiest is undoubtedly Diana the Musical, postponed from its Broadway premiere a year ago. In March, opening next month on stage on Broadway, but available now exclusively on Netflix. Gina DeWall plays the People's Princess with a big belting voice, but you can't miss the fact that it's a two-dimensional, thin storyline that tells her story. The show takes Diana from her early days as a kindergarten teacher's assistant through the rocky marriage to Prince Charles, to her death by paparazzi. Now, I guess it would be hard to come up with something new about this woman in the spotlight, but this musical certainly doesn't seem to try. And the lyrics by Joe DiPietro and composer David Bryan of Bon Jovi, they're just really clunky and bad. On the plus side is the costume design by multiple Tony Award winner William Ivy Long. He's got quick changes. He's got that iconic black dress of Diana's. Director Christopher Ashley, he won a Tony for Come From Away last season, or 2 seasons ago, does what he can, but it's an uphill battle against the cheesy material. When Diana the Musical opens on Broadway on November 17th, I predict that the reviews will be brutal. So you might as well see it on Netflix if you're going to see it at all.
All right. It's
really awful.
Give us your... I didn't know that she was a teacher's assistant. I never knew that, so that's kind of interesting.
There you go.
Not interesting enough to sit through what's
No. It happened in the first 2 minutes.
All right. I'm going to take a nap. You give us the art house pick, and then I'll do some honorable mentions.
I'll wake you up, okay, at the end. Very good. My art house pick this week is a Japanese film set just before and during World War II. It's a domestic thriller with the title Wife of a Spy. That sets up the tension and really is talk about an aspiring actress and housewife named Satoko, who begin to suspect that her international trader husband is really involved in espionage after he returns from an extended trip to Manchuria. Is he the man she thought she married? Satoko gradually comes to a personal and political awakening that she turns sleuth, spying on her husband. Meanwhile, the movie, directed by renowned Japanese filmmaker Kiyoshi Kurosawa, begins to resemble the work of Alfred Hitchcock, which, of course, is high praise indeed. The Wife of a Spy opens this weekend at the Living Room Theater in Boca Raton, and the Stanzik Studio in Lake Worth are two main art house theaters. Yeah, it's the same subject matter as No Time to Die. I mean, they're both about the spy game, but this one is 180 degrees away in tone and temperament. It's well worth seeking out, as the lines are bound to be much shorter than No Time to Die.
And,
okay, wake up.
Fewer stunts.
Fewer stunts. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's more like the Jean Le Carré's with a Japanese twist.
All right. So while you were out, we missed The Many Saints of Newark, which is, of course, the Tony Soprano. Tony Soprano story from the creator of the Sopranos HBO series. Which, by the way, I think I've watched one, maybe part of one episode. Go ahead.
I wasn't glued to it, but I saw a few more than that, and the thing is impressive, which makes the prequel hard to match.
I was a fan of the actor, and his name is escaping me.
James Gandolfini.
Gandolfini, that's it. He did do other work, by the way. He was in other movies. Of course, he typecast himself, and then his very untimely death. I want to say it was a heart attack, very unexpected. His
quite
son.
Quite sure it was a heart attack. But
something.
It was certainly untimely.
It was a health thing, and it wasn't like a car
definitely.
Crash or anything. So that's what I'm saying. It was a health thing, and very untimely. But I was a fan of his work. I saw him in some other movies, and I thought he was, a little bit typecast, for the characters that he would play. But was very good at what he did. I thought amazing how much they made his son. It's his real son in real life that plays the role of the young Tony Soprano in this. And
had a little bit of help from genetics, but yes, it is astonishing.
Yeah.
It's unmistakably his son.
Well, genetics and some makeup, because if you see, yeah. I've seen pictures of him without not in the trailer, and it's like, okay, he doesn't look quite as much as his dad, but. he had the genetics part. It's definitely, definitely his father's son. I don't think there's going to be any arguments there. The way the trailer, it almost looks like a Goodfellas, and Goodfellas is one of my top three movies of all time. Ray Liotta, of course, is in it, and they show him in the trailer. I get a feeling he's barely in it, and they're using him to hook people like me in.
And it works.
Yeah, he's not the only reason. It just looks like an interesting story, and obviously I know the Tony Soprano character. Basically, I mean, I know enough about it. I just wonder, if I would need to watch.
I'm sure the more you know about the Sopranos, the more you'll appreciate this one. But yeah, it pretty much stands alone, I think.
So I think I'll give that one a shot. I did give Venom a shot, Let There Be Carnage. It was good to see
big,
Woody Harrelson.
Big at the box office last week.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson back in the serial killer role. And I forget the name of the movie again that he did.
Natural Born Killers.
Thank you. Why do I keep flaking on that? That was an Oliver Stone movie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And that was just a crazy movie. Rodney Dangerfield playing the character that he played. I'm not going to get into it. If you haven't seen Natural Born Killers, if it's the kind of movie you think you'd like, you got to be prepared for that. Not everybody's going to enjoy that movie.
No, it is absolutely a...
It's a left of center. It's not done traditionally. I don't know how else to put it. The movie, the way it's done, besides the violence, but just it's the way that it's put out there, it's very odd, although Oliver Stone doesn't just make your prototypical movies, does he? He pretty much, he puts his own stamp on his films. You either like them or you don't. So,
very definitely. And this is one that is a... Uh, um, What can you say?
Well, we'll bring it back home to Carnage. essentially, you know, bringing Woody Harrelson back to that kind of a character, because that's what, you know, what the guy that he's playing is. Basically, he's a serial killer, and then he ends up, basically, he you see it in the trailer, but he bites whatever the guy's name is, the main character who has venom inside him, the character Venom. And which is an alien. Look, I'm not going to get it. If somebody doesn't know anything of what I'm talking about, don't see the movie. You're not going to care about it. But bottom line is, he bites him, gets a little bit of that blood in him. You're supposed to believe that he takes, and that's where Carnage comes
all it
from.
Takes. Yep.
That's where Carnage comes from. And this is straight out of the comics. I know that Venom, I was told, was a character that actually started with the Spider-Man universe. So anyway, movie's okay. It was silly. I thought the first Venom was better, which I think a lot of people didn't agree
it's
with me on
surprising.
That.
Surprising. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I know that Venom didn't go over well with the critics, the first one. I haven't looked at this one. Score, let's do it.
I'm sure this one didn't either.
59% splattered tomato on Rotten Tomatoes. So, anyway, it's entertaining, very silly, but it was good to see Woody Harrelson. He's the best part of the movie, besides, obviously, all the effects and all that, if you're into that. Also saw The Addams Family 2.
Wow, that you're an eclectic moviegoer.
Yeah, it wasn't something that I was planning on seeing, but it's definitely better than the 23% that the critics are giving it. In fact, when you look at Rotten Tomatoes, they have two scores, right? So you've got the critic score, and then you've got the audience score. And whenever
right.
you see them nowhere near each other, you know something's going on. So the critics, 23%, audience score, 71%.
Right.
I mean, you're almost 50% off. So I think that I'm with the audience. I just thought it was an entertaining, it was a fun movie, had a good message to it. I'm not going to get into it. If you like the first Addams Family movie, I think you'd like this one. I actually enjoyed the first Family.
The first animated. I mean,
yes. This
live
the
action Addams, ones. Which...
Right. I missed those. I think there were three of those back in the 90s. I want to say it was the 90s.
I know there were two. Okay.
Maybe there were two. Christina Ricci played Wednesday.
Right.
And the character Wednesday, Chloe Grace Moretz is Wednesday in this, does the voice. But yes, it's the...
It's pretty interchangeable, I think, those two actresses.
It's the... And you know who what's her name is, the... what is her name? What is the wife? Morticia. That's Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron. Bette Midler has a role in this, and you'll never recognize her voice.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
There's some interesting stunt casting. Okay.
I'm glad I didn't know before the credits roll at the end.
Would have kept you away?
I probably wouldn't have seen it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, and then there's one more that I haven't seen yet. Dear Evan Hansen, and I know you did the review of that.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to get to that.
Why are you avoiding it?
I was going to see it Sunday, and it was too late. It's a 2-hour and 17-minute movie. I get up very early on Monday, yada, yada. But it is going away. If I want to see it, this will be the weekend, unless I want to wait for it and stream it or something. Because it's got down to like 2 or 3 showtimes at a lot of theaters as I scan through here on Fandango.
It really didn't make much traction at the box office.
No, and then you got No Time to Die taking up a lot of screens. The Addams Family is probably making a decent amount of money because you're bringing the kids in. Venom is still on a lot of screens because as you said,
the box office is going to be entirely No Time to Die this weekend.
Well, then maybe this will be the weekend to see Evan Hansen, because I'll have time to
guarantee you can get in. Yep.
Yeah, I'll probably be alone in the theater, so that'll be good, and I don't have to worry about the whole COVID thing. Anyway, all right, so what's on the horizon before we wrap up? Let's see. Halloween Kills. I know you're not gonna bother with that.
I'm going to try and avoid
movie.
That one, yeah.
That's October 15th, so that's next weekend. The Last Duel just looks horrible.
It's Ridley Scott, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Matt Damon, Adam Driver, Ben Affleck. They ended up giving him a role in it. That must have been Matt going, give Ben a break. I like Ben Affleck, but this movie looks bad. And then Ron's Gone Wrong. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, October 22nd. That's an animated movie. My 8-year-old's going to be trying to bring me into that one. And I'm going to try to avoid it like the plague. I'll go, hey, I'd rather see the Addams Family 2 again. So hopefully that's right. Still out by then. It should be, because it won't even be Halloween. You'd think, even if it's not making a ton of money, they'll leave it out at least through Halloween, right?
You would think, sure.
We'll see what happens. All right, well, we will chat next week.
All right, I'm going to find something to to look at, and we'll report. See you all next week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.